This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We begin with a very simple question. How did we get here?
No one really knows how the game is played. The art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. We just assume that it happens.
Once upon a time, the U.S. House of Representatives was steeped in tradition. Its speaker all-powerful, its leaders paid up on long tabs of seniority and political favors to get to the top. So how did a few dozen rookie lawmakers from the South and Midwest manage to topple John Boehner and Kevin McCarthy?
I want to be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens.
In this case, the room where it happened was the place where the so-called Freedom Caucus first decided to challenge everything traditional about the House. Republican John Fleming is a representative from Louisiana.
We want to hear what they want to do creatively and innovatively to begin taking back the powers that are guaranteed to the U.S. Congress through the Constitution.
Fleming is unafraid of confronting the Speaker or anyone else because he comes from a safe district. All of the Freedom Caucus Republicans do. Fleming's district in Louisiana was iffy back in 2008. He won by a slim majority over his Democratic rival. By 2010, though, the district was re-engineered to have a solid majority by fellow Republicans in the Louisiana legislature. In the 2010 election, Fleming won by a landslide, and by 2012, he was running unopposed, taking the 4th district with 75% of the vote over an independent Libertarian candidate. All 36 members of the Freedom Caucus started out as ideological soulmates. Many of them rode to Congress with the support of the Tea Party movement in 2010 and 2012. But now, because of this nationwide district re-engineering, they command fearless majorities in their own districts. They are not going anywhere. Hedrick Smith is executive editor of ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org. He says that winning national office may be difficult for the GOP, but for a relatively small amount of money, he says the Republican Party has been able to buy a valuable insurance policy, control of Congress through strategic redistricting.
After losing the presidency to Barack Obama in 2009, Karl Rove, the Republican campaign guru, said he who controls redistricting can control Congress, and he was smart. They invested $30 million in the legislative campaigns, state legislative campaigns, way down the ballot that most of the media doesn't even pay any attention to. And they went after the control of as many legislatures as they could. They picked up 675 seats nationwide. It left them with control of both the governorship and both houses of the state legislature in states that control 40% of the seats in the House of Representatives. And then in 2011, they proceeded to do a massive job of redistricting on a partisan basis, what we call the gerrymander, using very sophisticated modern computer software. And they carved up the nation. And in 7 really critical states, they tilted the results. They actually had a popular vote in 7 key states. It was almost the same as the Democrats, slightly more. They should have given them 1 or 2 more seats. And they came out with 19 seats. If you change those 19 seats, the Republicans would not have had the majority of the House in 2012. I'm not saying it would have worked automatically to give the Democrats control, but the Democrats did win the popular vote nationwide. And the Republicans walked away with a 33-seat majority. And the Republicans themselves will chortle and say, yeah, we did it through redistricting.
If you could use a local or regional example, show how the red map remap changed the game enough to either determine the legislative election in a state or, change a congressional district, et cetera.
Well, take the state of North Carolina, which has historically been a state dominated by, at the state level, the governor and the state legislature, by the Democrats, even though they've had Republican senators like Jesse Helms and others. What they did was the Democrats controlled the redistricting of the state's congressional districts back in 2001 after the 2000 census, and they got a slight majority of the popular vote. There are 13 districts in North Carolina. 7 of them were Democrat and 6 of them were Republican. Pretty well reflected the party registration of people in that state and the way people lived. After the 2010 election, the Republicans took control of both the governorship and the state legislature, they did a redistricting. And the Democrats once again in the 2012 election won a majority of the popular vote, but the Republicans came out with 9 seats and the Democrats with 4. That's a shift of 3 seats. And nobody moved around. I mean, there are a lot of political scientists who will say, and even some campaign experts who will say, look, this is just the big sort. Democrats live in cities. Republicans live in the suburbs and the rural areas. It's just the way we all live. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's baloney. I mean, if you look at North Carolina, there was no shift in population. And after a Republican redistricting, the Republicans picked up 3 seats.
Is Florida the worst example here?
I think Florida is one of the worst examples. There are 6 members of this Republican rebellion group that come from Florida. It was the Florida voters passed a constitutional referendum in 2010 saying you could not have a partisan gerrymander that was intended to favor one party over another. The legislature totally ignored it. The governor totally ignored it. And Common Cause and the League of Women Voters and other people filed a lawsuit. And the courts have finally said, Florida Supreme Court has said the gerrymandering of 2011 in Florida was unconstitutional. They've ordered the redrawing of district lines. One of the courts has just done it, and they've changed at least 8 districts. And it looks as though in at least 3 seats, the incumbent is going to be vulnerable if not thrown out. And one of them, interestingly enough, is this guy Daniel Webster, who is one of the leaders of the rebellion in the House among the Freedom Caucus. He's the guy they've put forward as their candidate for speaker. His district has been totally dismantled, and Webster says, I can't win in the new district. So the point here is that gerrymander reform could actually fix this problem. It's got to be taken up in a bunch of states, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, the states I mentioned, and others. And it is starting to happen, John. There actually are public movements. There are lawsuits being filed in Maryland, Wisconsin, Texas, Alabama, a lot of places. So there is a lot of change going on, which is basically being ignored by the media. I think there's a feeling here among the mainstream media that gerrymandering is an old-fashioned problem, politics 101, let's get modern, forget it. I think they're missing a point here. This is basic stacking the deck in your favor, and it's up to the people and lawsuits to fix it. And in at least 20 states, people are doing something about it, which is amazing.
Hedrick Smith is executive editor of ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org. Thanks so much.
John, great to be with you. Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.